It was 1995, the first time I visited our centuries-old partner church in Mescu in Transylvania, which is the northwest corner of Romania. Only 6 years had elapsed since the fall of the 45-year-long communist regime, a black time for the whole country, but particularly terrible for Unitarians, who are a religious and ethnic minority in this Romanian Orthodox country. Trust, when I was there that time, was a scarce commodity, and nervousness still a way of life. Under Gwen Reed's persistent and stalwart leadership, our congregation had been in this partnership since 1993 for 2 years, striving to know how to establish trust, to honor our religious brothers and sisters in a faraway land, fellow travelers who had suffered so much for so many years for this ancient faith. Though our commitment was deep, neither we nor they had much idea of how we could build bridges, how we could meet on common ground, how to break free of our own ways and honor together this religious tradition that is so dear to all of us. When I was there that first time, no one in the village spoke English except the minister's son, and we didn't have a translator. I was excited to know how the money had been spent, but could find no one to tell me. It turns out that it had been siphoned off. I spent my entire 2 days in the parsonage or in Sunday service, never meeting villagers. On my second trip in 2002, the second minister in our partnership was on maternity leave, from which she did not return to ministry, although she came back for my visit. That visit was way less restricted than my first one, thanks to her healing ministry. But still, I had minimal contact with the people in the pews. Ministry in 2002 was in flux, and there was unease. Let us hear how things were in the summer of 2008.
Good morning. I'm Miriam Waito. 6 years ago, I boarded a plane looking forward to returning to Europe and a new destination. Little did I know that I would be returning again and again to the small village of Mescu. In May, I returned to the village for my third time. Each time I arrive, I'm greeted by smiling faces and a kiss on each cheek by any villager who can get to me, and an overcoming feeling of warmth. The fields were all growing abundantly and desperately in need of attention, but the entire village took the time to celebrate with us. We not only celebrated being together, but also the partnership our congregations share. Partnership is defined as the relationship between organizations that are involved in the same activity and share common interests. Our partnership with Mescu truly is a partnership. What we give to Mescu is so appreciated and matched in every way. They use the money we give them to buy materials that they can use to renovate and create. Every villager is involved in all these projects, working side by side. What they give to us is a sense of the power of tenacity, passion, community, faith, and survival. Our small village has the strength and courage to reach out to the world, to embrace us, and to spread the ministry of Franz Balasch. Franz Balasch, as many of you know, was a great Unitarian philosopher, teacher, and minister in the early 1900s. He traveled the world and spoke both English and Hungarian, and probably some other languages I don't know about. He had a vision for the people of Transylvania that could transform their lives. Because of his passion, he was assigned to the village of Mescu in an effort to keep him quiet. But his message has survived and is still revered throughout Transylvania and beyond. I met with Robert Balint, minister of the Unitarios Edge Haseg of Mesquite. Their Unitarian Church, to talk to him about the future visions and goals of the Mesquite congregation. He told me of the great achievements that they had made. A delegation had visited a folk school in Hungary that had been modeled after the dreams of Ferenc Balázs. Our village was honored for their work in spreading his teachings. Robert continues to translate the books and papers of Balázs into English, and the congregation hosts one of five national youth camps for Transylvanian Unitarians, which brings the words and ideas of Balázs to a new generation. Robert told me of how they applied for and received a grant from the Romanian government to buy roof tiles and to renovate the historic buildings. He was so proud of how the congregation came together to renovate the parsonage and how they continue to work together to preserve the site upon which Ferenc Balázs taught and preached. They are the keepers of Ferenc Balázs's legacy. In the future, Robert hopes to organize conferences and create dramas about Ferenc Balázs for the two Unitarian high schools in Transylvania. He wants to record the music and poems written by Balázs as well. Robert and the congregation hope to continue the youth camps and create a Balázs exhibit in the church. He hopes to continue to add to the library that he has with books written by Balázs and books that inspired Balázs. Within the next 5 years, they hope to renovate the church and preserve the painted ceilings. He also hopes to create a more professional website and to have more information about Mesquite in English. During the church service, the treasurer, Zsula, accepted and thanked all of us for the $1,600 check that we brought to them, money that would be well spent. Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and the Unitarius Edge Haseg Mesquite are partners. We are partners. We share common hopes for the future of the world. We learn from one another and grow together, making our worldview larger and our separation smaller.
Good morning, everyone. My comments this morning come from one of the two Mesquite newbies. As you've heard from Miriam and we'll hear from Elizabeth, you know, they've been there many times and they can talk about the change that's occurred over the years. From me, what you'll get is first impressions. And the themes that hit me are change and the interconnectedness of their community. First, let me focus on change. Here you have the evolving theme of my perception of Mesquite and how the change happens and affects everyone. I started this trip as a fairly reluctant participant. In fact, Alan Schwartzman and I had made a pact after hearing many stories from Miriam and Mary's previous trips that we were not going to go to Mesquite until there was a Marriott there. Needless to say, there still is not a Marriott there. Then came HP's edict that I use 33 weeks of vacation over the next 3 years, and Miriam said, "Look, Buster, you've run out of excuses. You're going with me." Change was evident everywhere. The Hungarian-Romanian border was amazing. On the one side in Hungary, you had a large, mechanized, rural wheat farming community that would have been at home up on the North Idaho Palouse. On the other side, you had tons of small, little haystacks with people with wooden pitchforks putting them up on sticks and packing them down on the top to make thatched roofs about 15 feet off the ground. Usually these were women. These haystacks reminded me of characters from Dr. Seuss's Whoville, all scattered all through the fields. The road changed from a big, wide highway that was about 60 to 70 miles an hour to a small, little road heavily under construction where we could average about 20 to 30 miles an hour for the next 500 miles over 8 days. And I get carsick. Even in the village, change was evident. I remember the picture of Miriam calf-deep in mud 2 years ago and as I marveled at the deep pile of gravel that made up the main road in Mesquite. I asked the villagers about it, and they said, oh, the elections are Sunday. The present council showed up with their election flyers and a dump truck of gravel, just like they did 4 years ago before the elections. I guess some things never change. I talked with our hosts about the invasion of the Colorado potato bug. Thank goodness it wasn't the Idaho potato bug. They weren't happy about it. And about how the EU has mandated that all sold milk must be milked by a milking machine, and thus our villagers have had to sell many of their cows off, since the milk they can milk is only can be used for their local village consumption because they don't have a milking machine. Everywhere in Romania, there was evidence that the EU was coming, from road construction to farming requirements to having to build full scaffolding around your house to do any construction to road construction. There's tremendous fear and some hope in the village about the effect that the EU is going to have on their way of life. Does that sound familiar? I don't think we should be afraid of the amount of change we're experiencing here in Boise and in Boof. When you compare it to our friends in Mescu. Let me focus second on community. This is what really won me over to our small village on the hillside. We talk about the interconnected web of life here in Boise, or here in the U.S., and often have to close our eyes to imagine it. Well, go to Mescu. It is there in every aspect of life. From the parsonage yard with its cut grass in the morning that magically transforms into one of these Whoville haystacks in the afternoon, to corn cobs in Roby's exciting central heating, to the church integrated or built on the hillside, to the gardens and animals and fields surrounding the village. Everywhere we went, everything and everybody was interconnected. On Sunday after the service, the entire village climbed the hill to the small field overlooking the valley. And there we celebrated International Children's Day. This was the village and the community at its best. Everyone hauling what they had up the hill, from homemade palinka and wine to food to equipment to themselves, all up on this small soccer field on the hill. While the women got to work on serious cooking, and I did notice the entire time I was there, only the women did the cooking. And they protected it pretty seriously. While the women got to some serious cooking, the older children had a contest with 10 different activities they'd set up for the younger children. They took notes and information and labored studiously on their clipboards before they announced a winner. Food was served with everyone sprawled across the area. As the designated drinker for our party, someone has to take the tough tasks. It fell to me on behalf of each and every one of you to sample everyone's palinka and wine, and I'm sure I sampled enough for each and every one of you. Here again, you could taste the community and the interconnectedness, as you could tell that their home brews had been done in large community batches. They were remarkably consistent and very good, as we discovered in traveling with another group coming back from their village. Our palinka, Parapalinka, was award-winning. I've had some very bad palinka otherwise. As the festivities came to a head, there was a very competitive football game or soccer game on the field among all the adults. At one point, George, head of the lay congregation, slid out of control out of the field and wiped out this small boy. The image of George with this small boy in his outstretched hand tenderly holding and consoling him was burned eternally into my memory. It struck me just how much community existed in this small village and how interconnected everyone really is. As I came back from Mescu, I've tried to keep that image of the interconnected web. I may have caught Mescu at the height of their tourist season with us there, but I will always take with me the memories and learnings of Mescu.
I would like to first just thank everybody that helped me get to Mescu and Budapest. I'm very grateful to you. And I did not travel with the rest of the group, but I went by myself because they went during school. So, Traveling, for the most part, does not necessarily imply going on vacation. A vacation often entails golden beaches, rest, leisure, and drinks served in coconuts. My idea of traveling, however, is finding yourself in uncomfortable, confusing, or embarrassing situations. These feelings reveal intimate and universal emotions, and after you've collected yourself, the barriers constructed by a different language or unfamiliar customs begin to melt away. One such experience provided me with a considerable amount of embarrassment. On a Sunday morning in Mescu, I was seated in a tiny pew in a small church half the size of this room. Though I could not understand Reverend Ballin's sermon, I took interest in the language and the emotions he used to elucidate his message. At one point, he motioned toward me and said something humorous as the congregation began to laugh. Needless to say, I was a bit confused. I looked around at the people sitting by me and at those across the aisle in the pews opposite, and determined, after much consideration of the matter, that their church is segregated by gender, and I was on the side opposite mine. After 30 additional minutes of discomfort and the occasional glance, the service was over, and I shuffled out of the church along with a dozen little old ladies. Talking with Robert on the way back to the parsonage, he made me feel a little more at ease. Apparently, I'm the first person to try to break the barrier of gender in the church. From that point on, my relationship with the people in the village grew, and I introduced myself in a way that hopefully they will not soon forget.
I am grateful beyond words that I got to go on this year's pilgrimage with the Woytos to share, to some extent, the experience that Will had at a different time, but I didn't sit with the men. This year on my trip, I too found community. I found hope and faith and a lot of love. The picnic on the hillside with Palinka, which David didn't tell you, is a really potent distilled spirit. Palinka flowing way copiously down the men's throats. The barbecue, the older children sharing game after activity after game with the younger children. Conversations with my host family. I was lucky to have the translator staying in the same home I was. Laughing and learning. Enthusiastic meals at the renovated parsonage to which we contributed lots of money so that could happen. The meals were created in the now functional kitchen by village women, and the food and the conversation was greatly enjoyed by all of us, with the minister and his wife's little kids always underfoot. Planning a service with young Reverend Robert, finding hymns with the same tune that both of our congregations sing, so we could sing to each other in worship. And boy, do they sing slowly. We go, Spirit of Life, and they go, I forget the words, but it's da, da, very, very stately, a very different feel to it. Planning flower communion, which was a brand new ritual to them, and they loved it. And preaching in that venerable pulpit. Always a truly humbling experience, made richer this time by a colleague committed to his vocation, committed to trying new ways, and made richer by a congregation with familiar faces looking lovingly at me. In Transylvania, the roots of our tradition run deep and long. As is true here at home in community, we are made richer by our commitment. We are made richer by our determination to stay in relationship with brothers and sisters to whom we are united by this faith of ours. We are made richer not because we help those less fortunate, but because we open our hearts to learning, because we maintain the generosity and the courage to stay with each other through ease and difficulty, to stay with each other through the changes of time.